the second of three conclusions from The Light, the series The Light. And I'm going to go back, and the lesson I'm trying to introduce here, I'm going to go back and review a little bit, just because if I didn't, it would be a blunt start without any understanding what we're doing here. But we were talking about who this, the restrainer is, that restrains the man of sin, the mystery of iniquity. It says in 2 Thessalonians, I didn't ask anybody. I'm getting very forgetful. I should have asked somebody to post verses. If someone could, that would help a lot. The verse list is posted on the website under FCP, and then 2014, the year, and then 1105. But in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, we see, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work." Now, that's talking about at that time when Paul wrote this. So keep that in mind in the chronology of things. "The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth," or restraineth, remember that's like letting a bucket down a well. You restrain it, you don't let it drop all at once. "He who now letteth," or restraineth, "will let," or restrain, "until he be taken out of the way." So there is a restraint going on right now that doesn't let the man of sin be revealed and take over. That 70th week of Daniel was interrupted by Acts 7 when Israel blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Israel spent the rest of Acts diminishing until their blinding and casting away in Acts 28. And from Acts 28 verse 29 until today, Israel is still blinded and Israel is still cast away, alienated from God. That's not the way to get to God. Today, believers in the gospel that Christ revealed to Paul in Acts 9, and by which Christ saved Paul in Acts 9, that gospel Christ committed to Paul, and those that believe it are in the body of Christ. Christ restrains that wicked, that man of sin, from taking over. It's Christ in the world today that keeps the man of sin from taking over. Christ the head is in heaven, but Christ's body is still on earth, restraining that wicked and the mystery of iniquity that already is at work in the world. Let's look at Romans 11, verse 25, if we could. "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery," so here's another secret he's telling, "lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blind," here's the mystery, "that blindness in part is happened to Israel until," and there's an until, so in other words, there's an end to that blindness, or to that blindness in part, whichever way you take it, but "until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." When what that blindness is until, when that arrives, what it's until, their blindness will end when that arrives, what it said there. That word "until" means that their blinding has happened, but their blinding ends when the specified event occurs. Romans 11:25 just said that Israel will continue in their alienation, in their being cut off, or blinded and cast away, is the words in Scripture, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. When the body of Christ is taken out of the way, several things begin to happen. So, Rhino Word, please don't post, is there someone that could add me in the room? Please don't post opposing doctrine or alternate doctrine, whether you think it's opposing or not. You're welcome to listen and to amen or to ask a question about it, but you need to know what rightly dividing is about and who is being spoken to and who, you know, in those events. Those things are mentioned in the Scripture, but some of them are not relating to us. Alright, okay, I'll get it myself. Alright, so, according to Romans 11:25, Israel's blindness ends at the time when the body of Christ is taken out of the way. And Israel's prophecy fulfillment resumes at that time. According to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, a man of sin will be revealed in his time, that man of sin. If Christ returns at or before the catching up of the body of Christ, then the world would not yet be in darkness when he returns. And the day of the Lord would not be like a thief in the night. It would be daylight still. It would still be the light of day. We're shining as lights while we're here. Philippians 2:15 says that we shine as lights in the world. Therefore, if the body of Christ is still here, Christ would not be coming as a thief in the night. He would be coming in the light of the body of Christ. And that would conflict with what Scripture says. So he can't come before he comes. He can't come to the earth to touch down that's the good one there, yeah. But the one before was I think Romans 11:25. Oh, I've got 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 6 through 8. That's what we start off with, though, about the man of sin. That's okay. So if the body of Christ is still here, Christ wouldn't be coming in the night. He'd be coming in the light, and that doesn't match what Scripture says he will come in. He says, the Bible says it will already be darkness. It'll be night on the earth, spiritual night on the earth, when the Lord returns, meaning we won't be here anymore. He will have already come to catch us up. So we have to be we, the lights in the world, must be removed from the world by the time that the Lord comes to touch down on earth. And that removal is what 1 Corinthians 4, 16 and 17 calls being caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Therefore, spiritually, it would still be the light of day as long as we are still here on earth. And that's the point. So, in Revelation chapter 1, and we'll look at a couple of verses in chapter 1, in verse 4 and verse 11, we can see that John is separate from the candlesticks, the churches. In the chapter named Comfort, back that we've covered earlier in this series, it's named Comfort or Warning to the Churches. We meticulously went through those seven churches and identified fact after fact that proves that not one of those churches was a body of Christ church or will be a body of Christ church remaining on the earth. They're all new churches placed there since the resumption of Israel's prophetic fulfillment, when the church, the body of Christ, has been caught up together to be with the Lord. Those churches will be isolated, well, candles. I mean, it's a dim light, but it's a light in the dark world. They are described as candlesticks giving out light, and we see that John is separate from those candlesticks. He's writing to them, and they're separate from him. They're not the same thing. In other words, he writes to them, and he says in Revelation 1 verse 4, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. So John is writing to those seven churches at a remote location from him. He is not with them. Look at verse 11, Revelation 1 verse 11. In the text there, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book. Well, the book that that we have is important. You know, all through it, in Exodus, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Revelation, and in other places, they're told to write in a book and to preserve it so that it will never change. Then for authority, we can go back to the book. Use it. It's there. It's in your hands. It's the King James Bible. Do not just believe well-meaning people who tell you what they were told. Do not just believe me. Believe the book, the King James Bible. That's what God put it in your hands for, or made it available, or and preserved it in its pure state, as he promised in the scriptures. So John is told, what thou seest, write in a book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. There it is again. John is still separate from those churches, those candlesticks. He says in the latter part of the verse, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. So again, John is separate from those churches. So we get to Revelation 4, verse 1. John is told to come up hither, or thither, hither. Come up hither. He goes up alone without the seven churches. He's going up to view some things, to be, have things revealed to him. And that's important. John doesn't have, I mean, he's alone there. He goes up alone and he views this revelation. But as John goes up there, he sees seven lamps of fire, which are the seven spirits. The situation is that there is light in heaven, but it's dark on earth except for those seven candlesticks. Now, you know, got to remember the chronology of things. That's not at the time the Bible was written. That's not at this time when, you know, I'm speaking. It's at a future time. It's a revelation of what's yet to happen. So except for those seven candlesticks, the seven churches there at that time, it's dark on earth. Light in heaven, but dark on earth at that time. And so now we'll consider the possibilities or the scenarios. If John is writing about seven body of Christ churches before the catching up, you got that part? Yeah. If John's writing about seven body of Christ churches before the catching up, then where's Israel? Where is the Israel that John wrote the revelation to? If those are body of Christ churches, there's something wrong there. John is writing to Israel, the people of prophecy, and yet the churches he wrote to would be body of Christ churches instead of Israel. It doesn't match. It doesn't work. That's not us. It's not the body of Christ in those churches there in Revelation. In addition, if the seven churches are body of Christ churches, then why wouldn't the body of Christ have been caught up when John was told to come up hither? They would have gone up too. The body of Christ was already told that we would be caught up together. The body of Christ was already told that we're not appointed to wrath. In 1 Thessalonians, 5, verse 9. It's Jacob's trouble, not the body of Christ's trouble. The wrath is coming, and as you read through Revelation, that tells that the tribulation wrath is coming, and it documents what it'll be in some places. But 1 Thessalonians 1:10 tells the body of Christ that we are already delivered from the wrath to come. Okay, that's a couple things. Thirdly, if the churches there, the seven churches, are body of Christ churches, talking about Revelation 1 through 3, if those seven churches are body of Christ churches, why is John writing to them when he pledged only to go to the circumcision, only to write to them? Look in Galatians 2, verse 9. Galatians 2, 9 tells us, Paul's speaking here, and he says, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go to the heathen. And who did they pledge to go to? they unto the circumcision. When you see writings, there's a good roadmap to the Bible. When you see writings in the Bible that are by those three people that made the pledge, or any of the circumcision writers, they're writing to the circumcision. James is to the circumcision. Peter, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, that's Cephas. And a lot of the stuff in early Acts is by Peter, sermons by Peter. John, the book of John, well, there's some thinking that Lazarus wrote that, but 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, and the book of Revelation are all by John. That's all to the circumcision. That's all to Israel when they're God's people, not when they're apart from God. It's circumcision, tribulation writings. That's not so with Paul, though. Paul is writing to the body of Christ, to believers, to those that need to be believers. He's writing to a variety. I mean, you know, just Romans alone, it says in verse 7, chapter 1, verse 7, that Paul is writing to all that be in Rome. And then you go through and he says, you know, he's talking to the Jews there, he's talking to the Gentiles there, he's talking to proselytes, and then often he talks about the Greeks. In one place there, chapter 10, verse 12, I think it is, it says that they're in the same category as the Jews. The Jews and the Greeks, no difference at that time, you know, in regard to what he's talking about there. So God would never ask his servant to disobey the word of God. And John is writing to circumcision, not to the body of Christ's churches. Israel's apostles and elders at Jerusalem had pledged not to go to anyone but the true circumcision, and to leave everyone else to Paul, the heathen, everyone besides the circumcision. Okay, another reason. Fourthly, the doctrine taught in those verses does not match the doctrine taught in Paul's epistles for the body of Christ. Therefore, they could not have been body of Christ churches in Revelation 1 through 3. And shortly we'll see those differences there. Let's consider the situation. If those seven churches are Israel's churches, the Church of God, they're called in Acts and in Galatians, and in Corinthians, a lot of places, they're called the Church of God. If the seven Revelation 2 and Revelation 3 churches are Israel churches, then it matches their prophecy and doctrine. It matches that they stay on earth through Jacob's trouble, Daniel's 70th 7. And you can see that in Jeremiah 30, verse 7. I'll answer questions afterwards if there are questions. I'm not trying to snowball this through. I'm just trying to get the lesson out there. Maybe I'll answer some questions that you have or others have in the lesson here. But otherwise, I can answer questions after I finish. But in Jeremiah 30, verse 7, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." And that's the end of the verse, but notice it doesn't say he'll be saved from it. He doesn't get saved from going into the tribulation. It's Jacob's trouble. He's he's going to be in trouble, in tribulation. But he will be saved out of it after he gets into it. Israel, speaking of Israel, Jacob. So notice, you know, he's not saved out of it. Israel, I mean, he's not saved from it. He's saved out of it. Israel has to go through Jacob's trouble, and yet in Revelation it's described how Israel is saved out of it. And if you look a few verses later in Jeremiah 30, verse 11 says, "For lo, I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee." To save thee. That's a future. It's talking about a future here, a prophecy. And he says, "Though I make a full end of all nations, whether I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. But I will correct thee in measure. I will not leave thee altogether unpunished." So Israel catches some of it. you know, further apostasy all these centuries. But they will be saved out of it. And from that, we can see that Israel is guaranteed that they do have to go through the tribulation. Not just through the great tribulation, but through the tribulation, which is 7 years. It's Daniel's 70th week. However, they will be saved out of it in the end, if they endure to the end. And since Israel must go through all 7 years of Jacob's trouble, Daniel's 70th week, and since Israel's prophecy fulfillment does not restart until the fullness of the Gentiles become into the body of Christ, and since Michael the archangel comes back to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation, Israel, when Israel's prophetic fulfillment is resumed, all these reasons fall in line. And additionally, since Michael the archangel does not come back until Christ meets the body of Christ in the air, then because of all that, Christ must catch up the body of Christ before Israel's 70th week begins. That means the catching up is before all of those 7 years of tribulation. That's Daniel's 70th week. Week means seven. 7 years. The catching up of the body of Christ is pre-tribulation, not just pre-wrath, but it's pre-tribulation, not just pre-great tribulation. So, yes, I must be one of those pre-tribs. Yep. I'm what the Bible says. That's what I believe. And if the Bible says something different than that, I'll believe what it says. But differently than that, Christ revealed to Paul that the body of Christ is delivered from the wrath. That's 1 Thessalonians 1:10. And that we're not appointed to wrath, 1 Thessalonians 5:9. So that's totally different than the scenario for Israel. In conclusion, having gathered and studied all these scriptural facts, we can summarize that among the many unified scriptural references to the catching up of the body of Christ before Jacob's trouble begins, there are five major reasons to believe the Bible that the body of Christ will be caught up before the beginning of Jacob's trouble. And we're going to go through those just briefly here to start with. Let me just get a sip first. Hold on. First, the scripture says that those in the body of Christ, it tells about them that God hath not appointed them or us to wrath. God has not appointed us to wrath, and that Jesus delivered us from the wrath to come. Excuse me a minute. He scattered them. Israelites did not become Gentiles. They became uncircumcised in their casting away, uncircumcised in heart and mind, but heart and ears. But they still descended from Israel, renamed Jacob, Jacob being renamed Israel. They're in the status of Gentiles, though. But you know, God had the way He stated that there. It looks like He means God is done with them. No, God has more to do. He has promises to fulfill to Israel, and He will do that. He's not a liar. That was the first thing. God has not appointed us to wrath. Secondly, Israel's prophecy fulfillment does not begin until the fullness of the Gentiles become into the body of Christ. That starts Israel's time clock again. Thirdly, Israel's angels begin functioning for Israel again when Israel's prophetic fulfillment begins, and not before. When the Lord comes with the voice of the archangel to catch us up, I should say, into the air to meet the Lord and forever be with the Lord. Israel's angels do not function here until we are caught up from the earth and gone. That's when, you know, the Lord brought the archangel down and doesn't go back with him. He stays on earth to minister to those who shall receive salvation. Fourthly, the world is in spiritual darkness when Christ returns as a thief in the night. The body of Christ shines as lights in the world. We'll be gone, though. We'll be leaving the world in spiritual darkness before Christ returns in the brightness of his coming as a thief in the night. And fifthly, Jacob's trouble is Israel's tribulation, not the body of Christ's tribulation. We don't get in on it, fortunately. Also, if the seven churches are Israel's kingdom churches, then the doctrine in those verses fully matches the doctrine elsewhere in the Bible about Israel. And it does. We're just about done here, but so get your questions ready. But only Israel is called on to endure to the end and to endure the fiery trial of their faith in 1 Peter 4. Only Israel is given that anointing to be able to endure to the end to be saved. They're the only ones that need to have it. Once we're saved, we're saved. So now John calls them to be overcomers. They need to be overcomers. They need to endure to the end. And he does that in Revelation 7 places in Revelation. All of them are in Revelation 2 and 3 that I've got listed here. They're easy to find if you want to look for them in those two chapters. 7 places, overcomers is mentioned. Over and over, they must be overcomers to endure to the end. That's Israel. That's not us. We're gone from the world. We're in heaven. We've been caught. We will have been caught up to be with the Lord forever. So, I'm done. And let me look at these questions.